Well, this morning, I just want to say one thing to you as we start. Happy April Fool's Day. And actually, it's really appropriate that Easter is on April Fool's Day this year. I know you did not come to church expecting to hear that. But it's true. We gather together on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate the life of a man who came back to life from the dead, who was raised from the dead. Well, you just saw 8 people confess that they believe that by being baptized. And it's a story that's hard to believe, a story that seems very foolish, maybe to some of you. And I understand that. And you know, just a minute ago, Jerry read this story from the Bible for us. I don't know if you caught it, but even in this story, they recognize, the Bible itself recognizes that this seems like foolishness. It's hard to swallow that someone came back from the dead. Now, in this story, Jesus has died on the cross and been buried in this tomb. And we didn't read this part, but these women who were followers of Jesus went and saw where he was buried. And because he was buried on a Friday evening, or just before sundown on Friday, they weren't able to prepare him for burial properly, because for the Jewish people, there's the Sabbath, right? You're not allowed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath, which goes from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. And especially, this was the Sabbath following the Passover, so it was an especially holy day for them. So they kind of rushed Jesus' burial, they made sure he was dead, and they put him in the tomb, but they didn't do the whole embalming process that we do back then, but they would put incense and different kinds of perfume on them so that when the body starts to decay, it doesn't smell as bad. And so these women come, they wait for the next day, and on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, as soon as they can, when the sun's coming up, they go to properly prepare Jesus' body for the rest of his burial, because he's dead. But when they get there, they find out that he's not there. He's not dead. This angel comes and says to him, in verse 5, if you were following along in Luke 24, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." So these women rush back to the remaining 11 apostles. Judas had betrayed them and died since Jesus' crucifixion. So there's only 11 of these apostles left. And they go to these 11 apostles who are Jesus' closest followers, who had been with him for 3 years, who had heard Jesus' teaching, seen him do these miracles. And they go up to them and they say, "Jesus isn't dead anymore. He rose from the dead." And then the Bible doesn't say what you kind of expect it to say. It doesn't say, "And then they all celebrated because Jesus had risen from the dead." Well, look what it says. If you have your Bible, verse 11 says this: "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like them to not seem to them like nonsense." That's Luke 24:11. Right in the story is built into there the idea that this doesn't happen every day. And it wasn't easily believed. Even Jesus' disciples, the apostles, didn't believe it because it seemed foolish, ridiculous, unbelievable. Let's be honest here. The Bible's honest about it, so we can too. The idea that a man rose from the dead seems very foolish. It's the kind of thing that really most of us think an intelligent person shouldn't believe that kind of thing. And if an intelligent person doesn't believe that kind of thing, then really there shouldn't be any Christians. There shouldn't be anybody who follows along with this. But you just saw 8 people who, most of them very recently, have said, "I do believe this. This is true. Jesus did die on the cross for my sins and rise again." You know, maybe you think in your mind, "Well, this is kind of dumb. It's foolish to believe that." But because you're a good Canadian, you're polite, you never really say that out loud, right? Our culture kind of has this idea of, "Well, you know what? You can believe what you want to believe as long as you keep it to yourself. I'm actually happy for you if it helps you with your life. That's great. I don't want to hear about it," right? The Bible, though, doesn't allow for that. It doesn't have that same perspective on Christianity. In 1 Corinthians, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Corinth. In chapter 15, this is what the Bible says. This chapter is asking, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And in chapter 15, verse 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. The Bible says, this isn't just a thing that it's good for you, that's great. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, if he didn't come back from the dead, then Christians are believing nonsense. It says our faith is futile, and you should pity us for our foolishness. This idea was summarized very well about 2,000 years later by an actor named Mr. T when he said, I pity the fool, right? That's what you should think about Christians if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Don't say, okay, you believe what you want to believe, it's good for you. It's not just helpful for life. If we're following a man who we think rose from the dead and he didn't, then we're idiots. Here's the thing about Christianity that makes it unique. Christianity is not a philosophy at its core. It's not advice for life. It's not a set of traditions and culture. We think about it that way a lot of the time, but that's not what Christianity is. Christianity at its core is news, not a philosophy. Let me explain to you kind of how this works. You might be sitting next to somebody in church today and be thinking, how do I stay awake during this boring sermon? And you could sit next to your friend and say to your neighbor, hey, here's my strategy for how I stay awake when I'm bored. I count these squares on the wall here and see how many there are, and it helps me to stay awake. That could be your philosophy of how to stay awake in church, your strategy for how to live. And your neighbor could say, you know what? That's boring too. It doesn't really work for me. I'm glad that works for you, but it doesn't work for me. But if I get up here and say, okay, thank you for coming. Have a great week. God bless you. You can leave now. And your neighbor says, hey, we don't have to be bored anymore. It's over. You can't say, well, I'm glad that works for you, but it doesn't work for me. Enjoy what you're doing, but I have to figure something else out. That's not how that works. Because that's not a philosophy for how to get through the service. It's news that the service is over. Right? The same thing is true for Jesus and for Christianity. Christianity isn't, here's a philosophy for how to live your life that you can take or leave, and it doesn't really matter. Christianity is news that something happened. A man came and lived among us named Jesus, and he claimed to be God, and he claimed to die for our sins, and he did die, and then he rose again. Either that's true, or it's not true. And if it's not true, then nobody should believe it. And everyone who dies is foolish. We should all just go home. But if it is true, if it's true, think about it. If it's true that this man said those things, I'm God who came to die for your sins so that you could know God, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And then he did rise again. Well, then that's something we need to pay attention to, right? Because that doesn't happen every day. I can't prove to you that Jesus rose from the dead. I can't. It's something that happened in the past. But at the same time, I can't prove to you that the Roman Empire existed. It's over, right? That empire fell a long time ago. What I can do is I can point you to some evidence. I can point you to written down history about the Roman Empire. I can point you to the impact that they had on the world that still exists today. And I went to Rome and I saw some of those Roman ruins and many of the Christian things that were involved in that too. The same thing's true about anything from history that either happened or didn't happen. Who knows if somebody made up all this stuff years and years and years ago? We don't know. We have history that points us to evidence, right? The Bible, and specifically this Gospel of Luke that we're looking at, is historical evidence of something that happened. You know, there's all these conspiracy theories out there that in like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, the church got together and they changed things to control people. But if you actually look into the history and the archaeology and the copies that we have that are ancient of these writings, that just falls apart. The Da Vinci Code is wrong. These things are conspiracy theories that didn't happen. And if you want to, come talk to me. I can point you in the direction of some books to look at that will show you what I'm talking about. This gospel, the Gospel of Luke, was written down by a doctor. He was a medical doctor. He was not an uneducated nut job who heard about this story of Jesus, and it changed his life. So much so that he left his medical practice and traveled around to be a missionary and to suffer and to help people share the gospel of Jesus. And he went and he interviewed people and got firsthand experience of what happened. And he did research and he wrote down, here's, it says at the beginning of the book of Luke, this is all the research that I've done, and here's the story of Jesus that I've gathered. And Matthew and Mark and John did similar things in their gospels. But as Luke writes it down, he names names. You know, this was written within one generation of when Jesus was alive. So that when he names names, it wasn't like, well, that person's dead, so who cares? It was, I can go back and see if this person will confirm what Luke has written. It's not a legend that was written hundreds of years later. I mean, there's evidence here of history that we need to think about. And look what it says. When they came back to the tomb, this is verse 9 of chapter 24 of Luke. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So here's some names of people that saw this. But they did not believe the women because of their words, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So Peter went and saw the empty tomb too, but even then wasn't convinced. And if you were to read the rest of the Gospel of Luke, you'd see they met Jesus again. He came and he showed them, here are the holes in my hands and in my side. He ate food with them. They touched him. They knew it wasn't a hallucination. He was there with them. And they give these accounts of the fact that Jesus really did rise again. So there's evidence in history, in the Bible and in other things, about this being true. But the other evidence that's maybe even more convincing is that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. The idea that Jesus died and rose again, the truth that Jesus died and rose again, that news has changed lives. Luke wrote another book of the Bible called Acts, all about these Christians that went afterwards and what they did and how they tried to share the gospel and spread the news of Jesus and how many of them suffered and died for it. They weren't selling snake oil to get rich quick. They were suffering for this willingly because they believed their sins had been forgiven and they had hope for life after death because Jesus rose again. They weren't shysters trying to get ahead in life. They were laying down their lives for something that they knew was true. The evidence in history, if you look at the early church, people were going where there were plagues coming into towns. And all the rich people were leaving town to stay healthy. The Christians were staying and helping the sick people because they weren't afraid to die. And many of them did die. And that's why the Christianity spread in the early days, is because the lives of the people who believed in Jesus' death and resurrection were changed in an amazing way that showed. Now, you just saw 8 people get baptized. Some of you know these people really well. And my challenge to you is this. Watch their lives. We know, those of us who are Christians, who have been baptized, who have professed faith, we know that we're not perfect, right? We do sin. We're not completely changed. But there are changes that happen in us, that we grow over time. Mark was talking about that in Sunday school today. It's going to be progressive. It's going to be gradual. Some of them, you heard the testimonies already of people that left alcoholism and saved their marriages and things like that. And I want you to watch the lives of those you know who are Christians and say, is there a difference there? Not are they perfect, but are we seeing changes? And if so, how do we explain that? For those of you who are here today that are already Christians, that have already believed that Jesus died and rose again, I want you to have encouragement from this. The truth that Jesus died means that your sins are forgiven. All the garbage that you've done in your life, all the selfishness, all the ways that you've rejected God and hurt yourself and hurt other people, those sins are forgiven. They're washed away, just like we dunk in water to symbolize that. And the person that you used to be died with Jesus. That old person is gone. So like that's why we symbolize that by burying them. But also through the resurrection of Jesus, you are made new. That's why we bring them back up out of the water, also because we don't want to drown them, but to symbolize the resurrection of Jesus. And that you have been made new as a Christian. So when you're struggling with sin or ashamed because of the sin in your life, remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that's made you new. If you've been baptized, remember the day that you got baptized. Remember the things that you proclaimed in front of the church and said, this is true of me, I believe this, I have been forgiven and made new because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And cling to those truths and be encouraged and keep walking with him. And if you haven't been baptized and you are a Christian, you need to do that. This is a day that will help you remember these things. It's also a day where we obey Jesus because he's commanded us to be baptized. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, I just encourage you to think about this more. Don't write it off. Say, well, obviously that didn't happen. It's foolishness. But go ahead and you believe whatever you want to. You shouldn't be satisfied with that. Either it happened or it didn't. And we need to examine the evidence for that. If you want to know more, I can give you some more evidence for that. But also watch people's lives. But maybe you're ready right now. Maybe you've been kind of hemming and hawing for a while. Maybe you're ready right now to believe this foolishness as truth. And I pray that you would do that. You would just say, I believe. I believe Jesus died. He paid for my sins and I'm forgiven. And he rose again so that I can be made new. It's all you have to do. And then tell somebody so that they can help you and help you to know what to do next and how to walk with God. Jesus really did die for your sins. But he didn't stay that way. He is risen. And all God's people said, amen.